as many of you the students who join our training, this training period. and perhaps many of you didn't join the last training period. So I think I must tell you about the spirit of Lotus Sutra, because it is rather difficult for someone who want to join or who want to read it as you read Bible or Confucianism. It is not Lotus Sutra. Can you hear me? Okay. It's not some sutra like a chronicle of great sage. Chronicle of saying or actions of great sage like Christ or Confucian. It is like something like Divine Comedy. I don't know how you call it. Divine Comedy of Dante, you know. Or it is something like great music, you know. It is actually something to feel when you read it. So in Japan, whether or not they understand it, they repeat, you know, Lotus Sutra over and over again, and until they get some, until they get the feeling of the sutra. It is, you know, if you think it is great music, maybe you will appreciate this sutra. So if you read it chapter by chapter, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It is like to see the big building, you know, part by part. If sometime you will see just strange, you know, foundation of the big building. It is not so. Also, it is something big, but it is not so interesting. It may be a big, big stone or concrete. If you see the building from distance, it may be a beautiful building. So until you read it over and over again and appreciate whole structure of the building, it is not so interesting sutra. It looks like a kind of myth, which is written in great scale. And this is the difference between Hinayana, I shouldn't say Hinayana, maybe original Buddhism and more developed Buddhism from original so-called it, Hinayana Buddhism. For instance, you know, you are very much interested in Zen, but Zen is maybe a big mysticism in one way. When we put emphasis on enlightenment, and when we talk about enlightenment, you know, it is something beyond actually what we are saying. You feel the spirit of it by koan, or by story, or by Shobo Genzo. You feel some burning, something very hot inside. It is like a blue flame, you know. It is very hot and very direct. That is the characteristic of Zen. So it is, we say it is something beyond world. After we talk about Buddhism, after Mahayana Buddhists expressed their spirit by in big scale, Zen, you know, started to express Buddhist spirit more direct way, and completely different way. But it is not usual. It is very difficult to understand anyway. What does it mean actually? What kind of spirit is hidden in it? It's difficult. That is why koan is difficult. Koan study is difficult. The same thing is true with Mahayana scriptures. Unless you feel the hidden spirit in it, it is rather difficult to appreciate it. And it may take pretty long time to understand it, because it is a pretty voluminous scripture. And for Zen student, it takes pretty long time. We say sudden enlightenment. actually. After practicing very hard with intensity and with firm conviction, you will understand the hidden spirit. Then it's very practical. We say it is so. But how practical is quite different, you know. It is not like to keep bank account, you know, to keep, bank account is very practical work. But when we say Zen is very practical. It's closely related. To our everyday life, we say. But Zen is not something like the way of living or a moral code. If you, you know, follow some Zen, if you follow Zen teaching, you will you will have some advantage. If you understand in that way, that will be the great misunderstanding. So purpose, the real purpose of Zazen or reading of scripture is to understand high ideal, lofty ideal of Buddhist, and encouraging by the Buddhist spirit, you can enjoy your life. In that is what we mean. when we say Zen stress our everyday life, if you haven't attained this a kind of spirit by yourself, you should practice our way with some teacher who has that kind of spirit. The same thing is true in studying Lotus Sutra. My mother, you know, always recited this sutta. When I was young, when he was taking care of me, sometimes he was reciting Lotus Sutta. So I know very well, you know, how to recite it. And when I became 12 or 13, I thought this is very I couldn't understand, you know. When I could understand what she was saying. If you when she says, if you, even though you you just off the cliff of some high mountain, you will you will be safe. Or even though you jump into a fire, a flame, you will not be burned. Or if you drift about, if you drift on the black storm, black stormy sea, you will be saved. Something like that. If someone wants to kill you by a sword will be broken in peace. Something like that, you know. When I could understand what she was saying, I doubt, you know. I thought my mother is very superstitious person. I thought I wouldn't hear. I didn't like to hear mother's reciting. But I cannot forget her attitude, her way of reciting sutra. And it was a kind of encouragement for me always when I think of my mother reciting Lotus Sutra. In monastery, also we recite this sutra at some certain period, over and over again. When I went to East Coast this time, I was almost all the time I was in Vermont. And I went to Vermont first, and then Rochester. And I stayed in New York just 2 days and came back. I saw beautiful mountains. And beautiful old stone, deserted stone wall in Vermont. And I felt, you know, as if I were some old country. And I, my mind, I was dreaming about many things. Sometimes I felt as if we have big monastery in deep mountain. My trip was a kind of dreamy trip. And even I met many people, but I think I was not so practical. Maybe I'm talking about some dream, dream of Zen Center or something like that. But I didn't feel I'm talking about my dream, you know. It was, to me, it was very practical and very realistic. things to have some beautiful zendo in Tassahara, or to have beautiful building in the center of San Francisco. It was not a dream anymore after I saw many mountains. And, you know, I saw owner of the property. And most of them who I met want us to build some zendo in Vermont or in East Coast. So I thought if we fix our mind, they may give us some property. But, you know, maybe that is my dream, but it was very actual, very realistic to me at that time. If someone say it is, he is a daydreamer, maybe I am daydreamer. But if you have some confidence in your in realizing your idea, that is not, I don't think that is dream. Even though you have a small, you know, monastery, it will be a big monastery if you have a Buddhist spirit. It is not actually a matter of big or small. But if we express our spirit in big scale, it may be a lotus sutra. If we express our spirit in one word, or a very simple word, it may be a toilet paper, or three pounds of hemp, or a piece of rice, or a grain of rice. If we say what is our spirit, if you say, when you asked what is our spirit, 3 pounds of hemp, now that is Zen. If you say, recite Lotus Sutra, that is Mahayana teaching. So, it is necessary for you to have some spirit to appreciate the spirit of the a hidden spirit of Mahayana teaching. When you study Lotus Sutra, this scripture was written, no one knows exactly when, but we don't think that it's this scripture was written some particular person. Maybe while they are reciting something which was written by someone. I think this scripture became more and more popular, and many expression of it more and more became more and more defined. And maybe in 100 BC or 200 BC, from 200 to 100, this scripture supposed to be supposed to become this kind of this style. And if you want to know the how Buddha's teaching became developed into Mahayana teaching, I want you to read Windbell. I think you will understand what kind of background this sutra has. Historical background, and how Buddhism developed into Mahayana Buddhism. Thank you. Buddhist scholars say Hinayana or Theravada teaching put emphasis on Buddhist scholars say Hinayana or Theravada teaching put emphasis on form of expression because Mahayana Theravada teaching is more rigid and chronicle of saying or activities of sage. So you can understand it literally. So even though you read just one sentence, you will be encouraged and you will understand it. But Mahayana scriptures put emphasis on the nature of the teaching or spirit of teaching, many scholars say. Mahayana Buddhists do not understand things literally. For instance, when we have precepts like don't kill, so for Theravada or Hinayana Buddhist to kill some bugs, it's violence of the scripture and the precepts, because they stick to the moral code. But for Mahayana Buddhist, if he stick to the word, if he understand precepts literally and stick to it, it is the violence of the precepts of fifth precepts. Don't be intoxicated by sake. Sake also is not just wine. Even though the teaching, if you stick to it, and if you are intoxicated by it, that is wine also. So, way of observing precepts also very different. Same thing is true in understanding of those scriptures. The five, for instance, fifth precept is not to tell a lie, you know. But in Lotus Sutra, Buddha, when he was Bodhisattva, he tell a lie to his family. And he said, I'm going to die. He said, I want to make a trip. Perhaps I may not come back. So the children, some of the children, who is not poisoned by, who is not spoiled completely by his father, thought, my father is not here, and he will not come again. So we must study hard, and some of them study hard. But some of them who are not, who are completely spoiled by his father, did not study hard. But when they learn, the father is no more, they were awakened. And that is who, and scripture says, who criticize this father, who tell a lie to his children. It is because he told a lie to make them awake and to study hard. That was why he told a lie. This kind of story is everywhere. But true way must have both sides, We have we must understand sometimes scripture literally and follow the scripture literally. Like Theravada Buddhist. we should not follow, or we should not caught by the teaching which is literary. So we say, especially Dogen Zenji's way is to understand Buddhism with Mahayana spirit by Hinayana practice. That is actually Dogen Zenji's way. So we must and why this sutra is important is this include this scripture express both way. According to this scripture, even
one leaf of grass is food. You know. Everything is food. The whatever you do, that is the expression of Buddha's way. So, this scripture put emphasis on each being or our everyday activity. Whatever you do, we should make our best in what we do day by day. And on the other hand, things we do or things we see in everyday life should be understood in great spirit. So this scripture put emphasis on big spirit in smallest things, something near at hand. This scripture includes both sides. That is why this scripture is called King of All Scriptures. I think that is why Dogen Zenji liked this scripture, and he referred to this scripture so many times in Shobo Genzo. So I want you, you know, whether you understand it or not, it may be good practice to repeat it. Then you have, you know, naturally you have some spirit which is hidden in this scripture. Do you have some question? I think we have some more time. I want to explain maybe some important chapters. So I don't think it will take so long time. If I have time, more time, I will start something else. Do you have some questions? Hi.
So we're studying the Lotus Sutra. How do we apply mental effort?
Oh.
You said that we should just need to repeat it over and over again.
That's all, you know. it is rather difficult to apply this sutra, you know, directly to everyday life. To have big speed, we read this sutra.
How should we try to penetrate it while we're reading it?
How? Yeah. Just read it. You know, if you, it may be maybe tedious sometimes. It will make you sleepy sometimes. Because I think so. But if you did it over and over again, then you have this kind of spirit, Mahayana spirit. It doesn't work directly. I think you will study something, you know, so that you can apply the teaching directly to your everyday life. It doesn't work in that way. Maybe we can, you know, recite a part of it in morning chant or evening chant, you know, instead of hanyashinyo sometime. Do you have some more questions? I will start from chapter of good means, chapter 2. So maybe better to, if you have the book, better to read it. It is rather difficult for me to explain it, you know. But I will try. And if you read it before, study, study time, it will help. Some more questions? No?
It sounded like your mother had had faith in the Lotus Sutra.
Huh?
You speak about faith and Zen?
Faith and Zen. Oh. You know, it's not faith. I think a kind of prayer, maybe, for her. When she felt very much encouraged, you know, having something, some problem in her mind, because she had some difficulty. Not some difficulty, actually, she had big difficulty as a wife of a priest, you know, at that time. So, you know, I think she couldn't help, you know, reciting sutra like this. Most, you know, all the Buddhist priests had very, very difficult time at that time, you know. That is, that was the second part of Meiji period. The policy of Meiji government, you know, penetrated all over Japan. And so, Buddhist temple, almost, you know, Buddhism were almost dying at that time. And priests had very difficult time. And people are very much interested in Western civilization. And Meiji government, policy of Meiji government is to encourage Shintoism and to make Japan stronger by army and believing in Shintoism. And study, to have hard study of Western culture, you know, to catch up advanced countries and to make a country stronger. That was the policy of Meiji government. So Buddhists, you know, had very difficult time at that time. Now when, you know, when the, my parents, when it rains, my parents, you know, used umbrella inside. Boiled tea. The roof was leaking badly. And the temple was financially they had very difficult time, so little by little they have to sell the property, you know, little by little. But when my father's time, there was no property at all at that time, because my father's, the priest who was in that temple before my father, you know, sold almost all the property. And they have no money. The people didn't support temple. So there's no way to make roof or building. Tatami is almost, you know, broken. I remember exactly. So I have, when I go to school, I was small hippie. But my head is always saved by him. When we have ceremony, you know, at school, they wear hakama, you know, usually. But I had no hakama. I didn't like to attend, you know, some festival or ceremony at all, because I couldn't dress up as my friend did. So that I didn't mind so much as my mother did, you know. I can imagine how she felt. She had always that kind of feeling or problem. So she was just reciting sutra. But I criticized him when I criticized her when I became when I could understand what she was reciting. I think that is maybe for her that is a kind of prayer, you know. She was reciting the chapter 25 always, where it repeats some miraculous power of saving people, power of Avalokiteshvara in saving people. My teacher, you know, Kishida Roshi, had big, you know, hard skin here. He was bowing, always, maybe, I don't know how many times he bowed to Buddha. I think that was a kind of prayer. He wanted to be a good. With Zen master, you know, Zen priest, but he had too strong ego. He was too stubborn. And he called himself one-legged priest, you know. What do you call? If you cannot walk, you know, without stick. When he writes some calligraphy, his sign is one-legged priest.
Peg leg. You have wooden leg, it's called peg leg.
Peg leg, maybe. Cripple priest. You know, so to conquer his ego, he bowed to Buddha until he has the skin here. Because of that, he was scolded by his teacher always. I think that is a kind of prayer. Even though you know this is right, but your mind doesn't follow sometimes. There's no other way to make prayer. I think if you practice hard, if you want to practice hard, I think prayer will follow. If you say, no, that's all right, everyone has ego, not only me, everyone has ego, so it is all right for me to have some ego. If you say, or if you understand in that way, you will not conquer your ego. You say egolessness quite easily, but it is not so easy. So I think and not to gain something, not to recover from illness. If you become, if you appreciate, or if you have, if you understand the Buddhist spirit, I think you cannot help praying for your teachers or for your for the patriarchs, successive patriarchs, who have been making same effort. Thank you very much.
Chapter 2, Skillfulness. The Lord then draws with recollection and consciousness from his meditation and forthwith addressed the Venerable Shariputra. The Buddha knowledge, Shariputra, is profound, difficult to understand, difficult to comprehend. It is difficult for all disciples and pratyeka Buddhas to fathom the knowledge arrived at by Tathagatas. And that, Sariputra, because the Tathagata have worshipped many hundred, thousand, millions of kotis of Buddhas, because they have fulfilled their course for supreme, complete enlightenment, daring many hundreds, thousand, millions, myriads of kotis of eons, because they have wandered far, displaying energy and possessed of one